Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Radha Sivasadi
Jai Om Vishnu Pad.
for the Manasa Pripad, Charger Stolter, Sri Shimare, Sea Bokti Vedanta, Shamiraj, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Aranta Koti, Vaishnavan Ki Jai, Nama Charger Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sukaho, Shakrishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nitananda, Sri Adaita Gadadhar, Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavan Ki Jai, Sri Sridhadha Krishna Go Kutinath. Sham Kunradha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Navadip Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Gangamai Ki Jai, Jamanamai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhaktavan Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, Gaur Premanande. Nice kirtan. Thank you very much. And we are on chapter 12. Oh, Krishna. Yeah, I can see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's good we have everything here. We've got the internet cafe over in this corner. And here's the grandfather bench here. Feel free to move from the sun to the shade or vice versa. It should be so rich. We try to accommodate everyone's desire today. Where did it go? Arjuna Vacha Evam Satata Yukta Ye Bhaktasvam Paryupasate Ye Chapyaksham Avyaktam Tesham ke yoga vittama Sri Bhagavan uvacha Mayavesha mano yemam Nityayukta upasate Shraddhaya pariyo betas Te mayukta tamamata Ye tvaksharam anir deshyam Avyaktam paryupasate Sravatra gamma chintyam cha Kutastham machalam dhruvam Sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayaha te prapnuvanti mam eva sarvabhuta hite rataha tvesho tikataras tesham avyakta sapta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukkam deha vadbhir avapyate ye tu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha Ananyena eva yogena mam jayanta upasate Tesham aham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat Bhavamina chirat partha maya veshata chetasam Mayeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya Nivashishyasi mayeva ata urdvam nasanshayaha Ata chittam samadhatvam nashaknoshi mayistiram Abhyasa yogena tato mamich chaptum dhananjaya Abhyase pyasamartosi mat karma paramo bhava Madartam api karmani kurvam siddhim avapshasi Ataita dapyashaktosi kartum mad yogam ashrataha Sarva karma palatyagam tata guru yatatmavan Shreyo hi gyanam abhyasaj gyanat dhyanam vishishyate Dhyanat karma palatyagas tyagat chantir anantaram Adreshta Sarvabhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukha Sukakshami Santushta Satatam Yogi Yatatma Drittanishtrayaha Mayarpata Manobuddhir Yomadhakta Samepriyaha Yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no dvijate chayaha, arsha marsha payod vegar, mukto yasatcha me priyaha, anapeksha shuchir daksha, udasino gatavyataha, sarva rampa parityagi, yo manhokta same priyaha, yo nirishiti na dveshti, nashochati na kamshati, shubha shubha parityagi, Optimanya same priyaha, sama shatra trimitrecha, tata mana pamanayo, shitoshna sukadukeshu, sama sanga vivarjataha, tulyaninda stutir moni, santushto yena kena chit, aniketa stida matir, optiman me priyo naraha, yetu dharmam ritamidam, yatoktam paryupasate, Shraddhana matparama bhaktaste tivame priyaha. Om Tat Sadati Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sangvade Bhakti Yoga Dhamma Dvadashodhyaya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Pritare Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatute Shatavane. Here Arjuna addresses outright, or yes, asks outright about Prabhupada's headline question, which is better, personal, the personal approach or the impersonal, which is considered the best yogi, Vittamaha, the most perfect in yoga. And he lays out the question very clearly. There's no mistaking what he's asking about. And there's also no mistaking Krishna's answer. Mana mayyavesha mano ye mam nitya yuktu pasate shraddhaya pariyopetas tame yukta tamamata. The person who's always engaged in devotional service is considered the most perfect. Then the others also, but those who fix their mind or try to fix their mind on the impersonal absolute and who control their senses and they're equally disposed to everyone and engaged in the welfare of everyone, they also attain me eventually. But klesho dikataraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higatir dukkam dehavadvirabhata. But it's very difficult. Klesha, lots of trouble to take the impersonal path. It's trouble in the beginning and trouble in the end. Trouble when you have to try to fix your mind on something with no form, no qualities, and so on. And trouble when you have to give up your impersonal ideas to make further progress. So it's not recommended at any time by Krishna.
Just one question I asked.
Yes.
Text 4, is this in context of someone who's worshipping the Vishwarup or a yogi who's going for Brahman realization?
Vishwarup's not indicated here.
Okay.
It's the aksharam, anirdesham, avyaktam, the unmanifested. Visrup is manifested. So this is the impersonal.
So can we term like, if that person could be called a yogi?
Yeah, they're also called yogis because they're trying to connect themselves with the absolute.
And what kind of welfare activities would a yogi get or delve into?
They try to spread spiritual knowledge. They try to... That's the main thing that yogis try to do for the welfare of all living beings, is spread spiritual knowledge.
they act as sages or sadhus to promote spiritual practices or spiritual understanding. Something else? Okay. We've just skipped through the most important part of the chapter. Very important stuff. So Krishna says it's lots of trouble for those who follow the impersonal path. But yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha ananyena eva yogena mam jayanta upasate tesham aham samudharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya vesha tachetasam. For those who are always thinking of me, I act as the deliverer, mrityu samsara sagarat, from the ocean of birth and death. Those who are meditating on the impersonal Brahma, they're more or less working on their own strength. They're not devoting themselves to the personality of Godhead, so the personality of Godhead is not particularly inclined to reciprocate with them on a personal level. But for the devotees who are always thinking of him, he very quickly, not Chirat means not after a long time, very quickly, become the deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Any question about that? Yes?
Does the, like we have now, the mind body is duality or almost like a fighting position, two hands? Did they have that at that time also? It's apparently like that? Or?
So it seems. At least it's indicated here that there were these two opinions, and therefore Arjuna had to ask. Which is better, those who are going this way or those who are going that way? So it seems to have been a lot of, certainly Shankaracharya, but here's the evidence that it was there long before Shankaracharya. And in Srimad Bhagavatam we hear about people who are following the impersonalist path. So it goes on. These tendencies are always there.
What is the difficulty for a liberated person to make this transition to Krishna?
What's the difficulty for the liberated impersonalist to make the transition to Krishna consciousness? Someone want to say?
It's very hard to focus on something which hasn't yet manifested. He's focusing on something which hasn't got a form. So
no, what's the hard part to make the transition to Krishna consciousness? When he says, okay, this is too, you know, I'm tired of this impersonal thing, I'm not making much progress. What's the trouble? Why doesn't he just become a devotee?
Would it be just all the practice that he's been doing, like, past whatever time, so would he just be stuck with that idea and just to take another idea that something beyond that exists?
Hmm. Something like that. Someone want to elaborate on that? Well, he's taken up all these practices and now to sort of put them aside and think about something else. Yes?
Well, he said the realized, the self-realized, the impersonalist, he's just merged in the Brahman realization. So for him, there is no impetus, there is no inspiration to do anything. So I think he has to either fall down again to the material plane, or he has to get the special mercy of the Lord through his devotees. Otherwise, there is no impetus, there is no inspiration for him to go beyond.
No inspiration. Yes?
He's stuck.
I think that is, he is depending on himself. I'm the doer here. You know, I can control my spiritual advancement. And then to surrender that to the Supreme Lord, that I decided me to advance, I will, otherwise I will not. So that means he's not in control anymore of his spiritual.
Big shift of gears. to go from I'm doing it by my own serious practice to I just put it in Krishna's hands.
Are the impersonalists not basing their practices on the Gita, on the Gyan Yoga that's explained by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, it's there.
Well, if they follow that, then
although not really, because Krishna says in that to think of me as the goal of yoga. Impersonalists don't do that. Matchitta. Matchitta Satatandava. Think of me. That they don't do. Yes?
Prabhupada nicely answered this question in the last paragraph of Play Silver. It's very eloquent. The last paragraph of 12.5, Prabhupada directly addresses this question. It just sums up everything that Nadine said, and Hani said.
Of your whole answer. Five. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also, I thought of another, yeah, they think, you know, they've got this idea in their head that form is Maya. So now to switch and say form is the absolute truth, it's a big jump for them. I thought of another reason too. Mayavadi Krishna Hoyaparadhi. They're offenders to Krishna. You know, you have no name, you have no form, you have no qualities, you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb, you're crippled. So their mentality is more or less offensive, and it's hard to make progress when you, after a long history of offenses.
But they do cultivate intelligence.
They cultivate intelligence.
They cultivate intelligence.
But they don't cultivate devotion to the personality of God.
But logic should let them know that that there must be a supreme, which is form. Maybe in the beginning they don't know.
Yeah, but bahunam janmanam ante, after many, many births, they may reach that conclusion. It's not so easy. Klesha dikatare snesha. They may reach that point, but it's not so easy.
And is that verse 719 referring to again?
719. Yeah. Gyanavan, after many, many births, the person who actually gets knowledge surrenders to me. Yes?
I was wondering whether there is any information why the 12th chapter is actually the shortest chapter. It's 20 verses. And is there any information on that?
Nope. Not from me. Anyone have anything? Do you have something on that?
No.
Short and sweet.
Regarding Krishna Charanpuri's question.
Loud.
Regarding Krishna Charanpuri's question and Vasudeva Saranamati, doesn't that apply to everyone? Like everyone when they actually get real knowledge?
Yeah, but you don't really get real knowledge unless you're looking for real knowledge. So it especially applies to the Gyanis. You had a question?
Yeah. So, if the impersonalists read the Bhagavad Gita, what do they say on these verses? Because it seems quite apparent.
Well, they get something. I don't know. I haven't read it. It's been a long while since I've looked at what these guys say. But they have a way of saying, when Krishna says this, he really means that.
And you explained that the importance of mom and relating to my personal
form. It's very clear. It's not a difficult chapter to understand. Mm-hmm.
Regarding Guruji's, once I got I was born to be in a place in Sivananda, in Rishikesh. I was staying there in the
restaurant. Here's the inside report.
So I was very curious what they teach actually in the camp. They had 100 student youth from different parts of India. But actually, even Narada Panchatattva is there in the part of the syllabus. But they don't focus on personal form of related to Krishna or Vishnu. they take the impersonal side of the, not the Pancharatva, and they interpret it in their own way, and they connect with the Western philosophers.
Huh. Basically, they do a lot of fast talking.
Lot of. I was surprised. So clearly, it is a
fast talking, double talking. There's all sorts of ways.
And the boys are very impressed. You know, they are talking so many about the Western philosopher. They're going up and down. You know, to the one end to the other end. They were just.
Yeah. Okay. We're moving ahead a little bit. We're taking our lunch off. Now Krishna just comes right out and says, fix your mind on me, fix your intelligence on me. Maya eva mana adhatsva maya buddhim niveshaya. Nivasishasi maham eva durdvam nasamsha. Then undoubtedly you'll come to me. Now begins a progression. Atachittam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamich chaptum dhananjaya. Krishna says, you just fix your mind on me, be always engaged in my service. Somebody says, well, what if I can't do that? Just like there are some religious approaches where they say, you know, surrender to God's representative and come forward and sign a paper and give your life. And maybe not everybody is ready to do that, or even those who do it, they do it, and then by next Tuesday something else has happened. Krishna tells Arjuna that suppose you can't do this. You're not yet at that stage where you can just fix your mind on me, always think of me. Then Krishna says, abhyasa yogena tato. Then do abhyas. Abhyas means?
Practice.
Then practice. What is that practice?
Sadhana bhakti.
Follow the regulative principles of devotional service. Mam ichchaptum dhananjaya. Then ichchaptum, you'll get the desire to serve me, to think of me. From the regulative principles comes the spontaneous platform. But then someone says, well, I don't know, I don't think I can follow these principles. Know this, know that, know this, know that. 2 hours a day you have to chant, you have to get up at what time in the morning? So Krishna says, abhyase pyasamartosi mat karma paramo bhava. Madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapshasi. Well, then you can work for me. You can work for me. You're already doing something, so give me the result of your work. Do something for me. Have all of you come in touch with people who really aren't yet prepared to practice, but they'll do some service? Have you come in touch with people like that? You know, well, I don't know, I just like to do something. I don't think I'm ready to be a devotee, but you know, you got something I can do. So that's the stage.
The beginning stage. I was like that too.
You were just ready to do some to help out, but you weren't ready to practice yourself. And now see what's happened. So that's there. Our life membership program gives people that opportunity, people who may not be ready to practice, but they'll help, they'll give their money, or they'll give service in some way. So they're here. They may not follow the regular principles, but they'll do some service.
This is the level of people who volunteer also to country, to the, not so only for people, but to country, for good. It's not the level, different?
No. There's a difference between working for Krishna and working for your country, working for a hospital, working for the Red Cross, working for homeless doggies, or whatever people are doing. The big difference between doing that and working for Krishna.
You said like life members, so they can give their money. So when they say work for me, does that mean if you're in employment?
If you're employed, then what's happening? You can give your money from your employment, or within your occupation, you can do something. You know, if you're an engineer, you can help with engineering work. If you're something else, you can. If you're a sound engineer, you can help with the temple sound system. Whatever you are, you can use your occupational skills for Krishna, or you can give your money to Krishna. Or something out of your occupation. You can say, well, you know, can I help clean? It's open for anyone. Can I help wash the pots? Any other question about this? Yes.
Maharaj, Krishna says that engage all your mind upon me, fix all your intelligence upon me. And if you cannot do that, then work for me. Typically, we have the understanding that bhakti yoga is all of these. When we say about daily devotional service in 11.55 also, mat karma, mat param, mat karma. So this gives some kind of a feeling that, engaging the mind in Krishna is different from working for Krishna, and working from Krishna is something less.
You mean like the way a $100 bill is different from a $20 bill?
Yeah, yes and no.
Okay.
So when you're saying about work for Krishna, is it like, okay, without your mind and without any...
What do you think?
Working for Krishna, for consciousness of Krishna, is identity, thinking about Krishna. Working for Krishna, for consciousness of Him, is identical to meditating on Krishna.
This is for those who are not fully conscious of Krishna. They're not fully Krishna conscious. They're a little bit Krishna conscious, not much, not even Krishna conscious enough to follow the basic principles, but they'll do some service.
They're friends of Krishna.
They're friends of Krishna, they're buddies of devotees, they're something. But those who are, it doesn't mean that because these people are working for Krishna, Krishna's pure devotees are not working for Krishna. They're working for Krishna and more. Just like those who are following mentions, if you can't think of me always, follow the regulative principle. Doesn't mean those who are always thinking of Krishna are not following the regulative principles. But those who are not, who are following the regulative principles, may not always be thinking of Krishna. Those who are working for Krishna may not be following the regulative principles. So each group, higher group, includes the previous one. Yes?
Where do we place these people?
Loud.
Where do we place these people who can really follow regulatory principles, and they have to be encouraged to do some service to Krishna?
This is where they are.
Are they karma yogis or how?
Well, that's a label question. Are they karma yogis? Are they karmis? Are they this? Depends who's talking. Sometimes we say the pure devotees are karma yogis. Sometimes we say these people are karma yogis. Sometimes we say these people are just previous to the karma. You know, it depends how you want to throw your words around. I never got very fixed on here's this division, here's this division, because Prabhupada uses them in such different ways. Just like pure devotee. You can go nuts trying to figure out what a pure devotee is, because there's so many different definitions. Anyone who's wearing neck beads and tilak is a pure devotee on one page, and on another page, those who are free from all material desires and constantly engaged in thinking of Krishna are pure devotees. So the same thing is there with karma yogis. Pure devotees are karma yogis in the highest sense of the term. And those who don't have much of a... how about let's put the cameras away? They distract me and they probably distract you. so the beginners also can be. So, you know, I'm not going to give you an answer. What are these people, this kind of yogi or that kind of yogi? Depends what measuring stick you use. Is that totally unsatisfactory?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Yes, ma'am.
Would you say then that working for Krishna means being just identified with a temple?
No.
Of course, a devotee is working outside. Can this work be offered to Krishna as well? Whatever work is doing.
Well, it has to be in some tangible way. It doesn't have to be the temple. They can give all their money to the BBT. Or some Krishna conscious project. It's not that temple is the only thing there is. There may be some project that they like. There may be some Namhatta group. There may be some... so many different things.
Just identify with some kind of project.
Somehow doing something... for Krishna. Somehow they're working for Krishna. They're doing something for Krishna's interest. Maybe they're distributing books. You know, they buy books and then distribute them to their friends. Maybe they do this. Maybe they do something. Generally, the temples are meant for engaging people in that way, but the person may not be particularly connected with the temple. Maybe he has some devotee friend. Or devotee relative, and he's helping that person with, their airfare to India or what have you. So it may be personal; it may not be connected with a particular temple. Just like you may have some friends or admirers. They may not be very connected with the temple, but they appreciate you. They have regard for you, so they render you some service in some way. Taking their money and helping them in something. And sometimes they even say, this is not for the temple, this is for you. Right? You meet people that say, this is not for the temple, this is for you, because maybe they don't have so much faith in the temple or whatever it is, affinity for the temple. But they have some connection with you, so they say, this is for you. Now, you know, so then you have to use it in Krishna's service, and then they benefit. Now we come to the people that you were asking about, the people who are not to the point of working for Krishna. Krishna doesn't drop them either. He says, Taitad apyashaktosi kartam mad yogam ashita. If you can't work for me, sarva karma palatyagam tata kuru yatatmavan. Then just detach yourself from the fruits of work and be... self-situated that way. So you may do some, that's where your charity work, your, all right, at least don't keep it for yourself. Do something generous, do something without consideration of your own personal gain. That may also be good. It's found that when one who is not even interested in the activities of Krishna consciousness gives charity to some hospital or some social activity, social institution, he gives up the hard-earned results of his activities. That's also recommended here because by practice of giving up the fruits, one is sure to purify his mind gradually, and in that purified stage, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. So this is really the bottom of the ladder that Krishna is describing here, but it's a step. If you can't do anything else, then all right, give to charity, give to some good cause. But we don't go around preaching to people, give to charity, give to some good cause. Of course, if you can't do anything else, all right, at least do that. But the best thing is to be always engaged in thinking of Krishna, directly serving Krishna. Yes.
But it does open doors for people not to take Krishna consciousness immediately.
Yeah, that's the thing. There are a number of places in Srimad Bhagavatam where this encouraging of people to act in mundane activities is very much disparaged. Even Vyasadeva was disparaged by Narad Muni, that you've done all, you've recommended all this karma yoga stuff, and you've just rocked people's minds as if it were, their minds were boats on the ocean. You've distracted them from Krishna. Now get to it, and let's just tell them about Krishna. So that was Prabhupada's approach. He didn't spend a lot of time glorifying the fifth rung of ways to approach Krishna. Well, yes, you know, just be a good person and try to give to charity and open hospitals. He was on the other side. Why waste your time with these philanthropic, humanitarian activities? You should engage in the service of Krishna. Hmm? Any questions?
Yes.
Hmm? Ooh, where?
Here.
Ah.
Maharaj, what does it mean to be self-situated?
Good question. Atmaban. See if Prabhupada says something about it. He doesn't gloss it, but not sold out to your senses, not sold out to material, not sold out to sense gratification. Person who's a servant of his senses is not Atmavan. He's Godas. So, Atmavan, just be, keep your equilibrium, don't get carried away. Don't get carried away by shopping and spending and going to the pubs and this and that. Just be, try to keep yourself together and do some good work. Mm-hmm. Something else. Yes. Loud, loud. You're the last man farthest away. Who heard? Yes.
Become self-situated through practicing yoga or by Krishna consciousness?
No, these people aren't practicing Krishna consciousness. They're practicing being a good person, doing something good for others, keeping their nose clean, not getting involved in really degraded things. They're trying to be, you know, keep your balance. You meet people like that. Well, you know, I try to lead a balanced life and not hurt others and do some good for other people. That sort of thing. Yes.
That's a mode of goodness.
We hope so. Sometimes it's mixed with the mode of passion. I only eat organic food. I only, you know, so it's all about them, and they're earning a lot of good karma. I'm earning a lot of good karma because of this. So that becomes, you know, they want their name on a plaque somewhere. So that becomes the mode of passion. But generally, this is associated with the mode of goodness to be. Or it elevates one from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness gradually. Yes, sir. True, but here there's Krishna so kind that, all right, at least do this. You don't get dropped. Otherwise, even Varnashram Dharma. You know, just do your duty and that will be good. It's not very good, but better than not doing your duty. You'll gradually make progress just because you're following the rules and regulations of Varnashram. Yeah, that's what we're pushing. But if you can't do this, 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 well, still, okay, do this.
You have to prepare yourself to become
accepted. Yeah. We don't just just say, well, sorry if you can't follow these four regular principles, and can't help you. No, there's still something you can do. Something is always there.
No, I just have one practical example. My mother, she was to give a charity to hospital, even death, and I brought her to the temple, and she thought it was nice, different, and she started to give donations and make cakes for the food. And for her, it was the same. Or give to the hospital, to the temple, it doesn't matter.
You're already giving. You already have that inclination to give to some good cause. So then when someone says, well, how about this cause? You say, well, okay.
And she said, no difference. It's just something good. But slowly she started to develop a relation. And now she's reading Krishna book and listening to her songs. And she had a Jesus picture in her room. She took away and put the Mother Yashoda and Krishna.
So here's a practical example how his mother became Krishna conscious by gradual process.
And still she can't accept the four principles.
Can't accept the four principles, but she's already, you know, she's made a lot of progress.
Understanding about the what in the religious fiction, what for example Moses was trying to give Israel people, which kind of yoga he was trying to
What kind of yoga is Moses trying to give the people? Jewish yoga. This is called Judeo yoga.
Walking for the food or touching the
ground. Well, as God told Moses, I am what I am. And so, as we can say, it is what it is. Okay. Shreyo Higanam Abhyasaj Gyanad Dhyanam Vishishyate Dhyanat Karma Palatyagas Tyagas Chantiranantaram. Here Krishna's summarizing, and how many of you have found this verse confusing? How many of you have read the verse? How many have found it confusing? Okay, I'll raise my hand. I find it confusing. I asked Prabhupada about it because it seemed to me that I couldn't, the order of things didn't quite fit what, I couldn't get it, couldn't figure out what the order was supposed to be. Looking at the Sanskrit, it says, as far as I can make out, that better than gyan is practice, better than practice is gyan. Better than gyan is meditation. Better than meditation is giving up the fruits of action. Because by giving up the fruits of action, you become peaceful. But that's not what the translation says. It's not what the purport says. So I've been fairly confused about this. So I wrote to Srila Prabhupada back in 1970 or something before, well, the book was in production. I wrote to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote me and said that actually the order of supersession doesn't matter very much. We're not very much concerned with that. We're concerned with the point that one has to fix the mind on Krishna and become Krishna conscious, and these other things, whatever order they're in, doesn't matter very much. Except that he added that this jnana means impersonal jnana. So that's what I can tell you about this verse, that the most important thing is that one has to think of Krishna, and whatever order these other things are in, that's the order they're in. Yes?
Yeah. Another question on that, Maharaj, also talks about meditation. So, for a layman, I mean, like, who haven't even started the journey yet in performing some pious activity, so what meditation are we talking here? Or is it in context to something?
No, it's not what he's doing.
Okay.
Krishna is saying it's better. frankly, I don't understand the verse all that deeply, and I've been assured that it doesn't matter that very much.
So, what do you think the translation should say?
Baba, I'm not saying what it should say. I've looked at it, and tell you the truth, I'm in ignorance. But it seems that it's okay, as long as Krishna's on top. The other things don't. It doesn't matter quite what order they're in. They're all subsidiary. That's the main thing that we have to understand. They're all less important than directly coming to Krishna consciousness. It's a letter, by the way. You can look it up if you want someplace. Those of you who are powered by Kulia, Prabhupada wrote me a letter on this verse. Okay, is that bad enough for you? Anything else about this? Okay. In the rest of this chapter, the entire rest of the chapter, Krishna dedicates to describing the qualities of his devotees, who he describes as being very dear to him. Yomad bhakta samaya priyaha. The Prabhupada said our business is to become dear to Krishna. That's what we want to do. And Krishna describes, these are the qualities of my devotees, the persons who are very dear to me. Yes, yes, di bhaktir bhagavat chikinchana sarvar gunais tetra samasite sudha. A person who becomes Krishna conscious develops all the good qualities, and here some of those good qualities are described by the Lord. He takes half this chapter just to describe his pure devotees. Are there any questions about these descriptions in the rest of the chapter? What's it connected with, I wonder?
In the last text of chapter 11, the Prabhupada mentioned that this is the most significant verse.
This is what?
The most significant verse in the Gita.
Yeah, Prabhupada says this is the most significant verse. I'm not sure what to make of that, because Prabhupada would often say this is the most whatever it was, and there would be other most whatever it was. Is like yours is the most important service, but then somebody, the next person, yours is the most important service, and the next person, yours is the most important service, or the most important thing in Krishna consciousness is, and then fill in the blanks. But he might fill it in two or three or four different ways, so I don't know. It's not the verse probably quoted most often. It's there, and Prabhupada says it's the most important.
I was going to ask him, like we have the Chatisloka, and the Chatisloka is considered to be the Paribhasha Sutra, or the seed verses of the Gita. So when I saw that statement, so I wanted to go out whether that is replacing the...
Yeah, you'll have a hard time with these sort of things, trying to figure out this is the most important, or that's the most important. Prabhupada said to open a temple is the most important thing. Okay, then next letter, Prabhupada says distributing books is the most important thing. Next thing, Prabhupada says, next letter, Prabhupada says chanting around 16 rounds attentively is the most important thing. So you can go nuts trying to figure out what the most important thing is. They're all important. Yes? Do the needful, that's the most important thing. Do what you're told, that's the most important thing. You know, sometimes Prabhupada he didn't use his most exclusively, with exclusivity. Strictly speaking, logically speaking, if something is the most, then it has no other competitors. But in the absolute plane, there can be a lot of mosts. Most important. There can be a lot of most importance. something else. Coming back to my question, are there any questions about the subject matter of the rest of the chapter? Yes.
But just coming back to your point, did anyone actually thought about this, you know, which is the most, which is actually the most important thing?
Well, Prabhupada said the most important thing is directly to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. There's these other things, dhyana and practice and so on. We probably said the person devotion to Krishna in his personal form is the most important thing that we know. There were some things that Prabhupada was not ambiguous about or didn't admit competitors to. Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotional service being the prime engagement of the living entity, that didn't have any competitor. Any questions about any of the qualities in the rest of the chapter? Mm-hmm.
About developing this gratitude, well, is it recommended to preach indirectly in some circumstances in this way to encourage people to develop the qualities and not by the categories of what we were discussing before, just to encourage them to develop tolerance, because it's godly quality. So.
Is it encouraged to should we be engaging people, teaching them tolerance, teaching them kindness, teaching them equanimity, teaching them all these other things in some circumstances, rather than teaching them about Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhupada mentions that for a devotee, this qualification doesn't have to be inherent. So, teach and send these qualities.
The question isn't whether we cultivate these qualities or they come naturally. The question is whether we should sometimes be teaching these qualities to other people who may not be devotees. You can't teach qualities. Well, yeah. I guess that's true, but in another sense, we say someone, do we tell even a kid, be patient? Or we tell someone, calm down? Yeah, that's for the moment.
You teach qualities by menial service.
You teach qualities by menial service.
Well, at least that's what we learn in Gurukul.
That's what you learn in Gurukul. You mean if I want to get somebody to calm down, I should get them engaged in menial service?
Yeah.
Ah.
Anyway, that's just a comment.
Huh?
Just a comment.
You have some raging madman, you know, he's mad at you, you want to say, come on, be patient, calm down. That doesn't work. You have to get him engaged in washing the pots or something. Definitely menial service will help you develop good qualities, but I don't know it's the only approach. Hmm?
You lead by example.
Lead by example. But the question is, you know, should we do this? Is it worth it? Are there circumstances where we, you know, wouldn't preach to someone about Krishna? We just say, you know, it's good to be self-controlled. It's good to be peaceful. It's good to be free from pride or greed.
I would think that it would make sense, because it is considered an offense to preach to those who are not willing to listen about Krishna. And therefore they might, you know, make jokes about it or something like that because of ignorance. So by teaching these qualities, maybe you can open, you know...
Maybe you can open up people who wouldn't get it and would just make offenses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Krishna also does...
No, behind you.
Maharaj, alone these qualities don't carry much significance. And we know that this is, while Krishna mentions these qualities a lot of number of times again and again, such qualities, people wearing them are very dear to me. So teaching them could be important, but the practical ground for developing these qualities, teaching means actually developing these qualities, is by practicing Krishna consciousness. So if they come to that conclusion, then it might be worthwhile teaching, and that is the right attitude which we can develop in the devotee to practice Krishna consciousness.
So we get them to practice Krishna consciousness, and then they'll develop all these qualities.
We do tell them about the qualities also.
We tell them about the qualities, but we make the point, you become Krishna conscious and you'll get these qualities. Yes.
It depends on the person and what's their starting point. So we just have to take them from where they are. Sometimes we have devotees and we have to teach them good manners and good qualities. And sometimes you have people who are not yet devotees, but by attracting them through teaching them good qualities, they become devotees. But the point is, what's the end result? What are we aiming at? That somebody's engaged ultimately in Krishna's service. But sometimes we have like what's called these bridge programs, whether it be loft or yoga or, you know, there's so many things. But if we can actually bring people to the platform of worshipping Krishna, then it's favorable. But if we don't get there, then it's just a waste of time.
Okay. You got to be double loud. You're in the back.
Yes. In the Merciless Gift, Prabhupada mentions that if one is good, well, it's always good because it's for something to benefit from being good to the next person. But it doesn't guarantee that should anything go wrong, that you can still maintain that goodness.
Yeah, you may be good until your self-interest is threatened.
Yeah.
And then your goodness goes down the drain. You had a point.
The first time I heard the sannyasi preaching, I wasn't a devotee, and he didn't mention Krishna once in his lecture, and it really captivated me. And because I wasn't a devotee, so I didn't want to hear about Krishna because I didn't know about it. But I was very interested, because he talked about Krishna all the time, but not saying directly. And I think a lot of people that were there, they were interested, and they went and talked to him afterwards and developed some relationship.
Okay.
Because nobody was interested.
Okay. Any other contributions here?
Well, also Krishna says about the indirect process. So the qualities can also be developed. It's not a complete waste, because not everybody is a devotee of starts at one focal point.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody starting from zero and is made to do good, so that's not a waste at all, because
mm-hmm.
that is leading at any point of time to a higher or next level.
Okay, anything else? It's not a waste of time. You bring them to some good qualities, it'll help them out. It'll bring them to the next level. Yes, Nimai.
I think our aim is to get everyone to become Krishna conscious. Sometimes to develop all these good qualities, they can take a lot of time, and by that time it might be too late. So these are all like zeros, with the one with Krishna. Kind of Krishna.
It can be pretty slow going to help people develop these qualities. These are more or less zeros without Krishna. Okay, you got enough input from the class to answer your question? See what you guys did? Well, just be patient and be peaceful, and everything will work out. Our propaganda is Krishna. And that's, you can get so careful that you don't want to spill the beans, as they say. You don't want to let on what it's about, because then people may not like it, and so on. So our usual process is, we put it all up front. That was Prabhupada's program. We put it there. They may, if they don't like it, we'll take it back. That was Lord Chaitanya's program. He went to Varanasi to sell these fruits. He said, I'm going to sell them cheap, and if people don't buy them, I'll take them back. But everybody bought them. So that's our general program. We're not here to make people just kinder, gentler, or those things. Our propaganda is that you become Krishna conscious, you'll develop all of those things. Now that said, there may be some particular circumstance where you may not be able to come back and tell the person right on the spot, well, Sarvadharma and Parachandra, just give up everything else and surrender to Krishna, that'll solve all your problems. So you may have to say, you may say, well, according to our literature, if you're if you tolerate, you know, the good and bad, it's okay because the it comes and goes, and so you can, you really don't have to worry about these things. There's a higher principle here. There are higher values. Okay, you know, you're paving the way. You're giving some preliminary knowledge. You're giving something. You're not giving him the whole package, but you're giving something according to the time, the place, the circumstances. You know, somebody's husband just died, and you say, well, you know,
bad karma.
You surrender, yeah, it's bad karma, and if you just surrender to Krishna, you won't have any problem. Well, the person may not be quite ready there, so you may say something about the eternality of the soul, or you may say something about being steady in all circumstances, or whatever it is. And the person appreciates it, and then you can say something else at a later opportunity. So it's not stereotyped that you just, whatever happens, you break out in the book, break out the book, and you've got like 5 or 7 verses, and you just boom, boom, boom. Or that you only have one strategy, as Navinanir Prabhu said, you know, you may have some strategy where you give some program, you don't say a word about Krishna, but they keep coming back, and they keep coming back, and your strategy is that when they're absolutely begging you to know what's behind all this, you know, isn't there some philosophy that goes with all this, isn't there, then, you know, when they're like practically falling all over themselves begging to know about it, you say, well, actually, and but you don't push anything on them. You just teach them how to cook, or you just teach them yoga asanas or something like that. So that's a strategy. If by your strategy people come Krishna conscious, become Krishna conscious, it's a good strategy. If by your strategy people become good cooks and that's all that happens, well, maybe you might want to look for another strategy. Is that okay? Yes.
Lord Chaitanya instructs Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go and distribute this holy name to the people in a manner by which their hearts are melt, and then they take up Krishna consciousness, fall at their feet, and then beg them, saying, Krishna is your only mother, father, only best friend, greatest friend. Please take up Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, so their method was direct. They, whatever if it took, they'd flatter people or fall at their feet, but the point was right up front. Please chant Hare Krishna. Please surrender to Krishna. But that's our general approach. Anything else is specialized, adapted for the particular circumstances or what have you. But our main, you know, bread and butter, as they say, is telling people, chant Hare Krishna, take up Krishna consciousness. Not that we... you know, look, there may be special circumstances. You go to a totalitarian country and you don't say anything about Krishna. You just talk about yoga, you just talk about something, because it's a strategy. But our general approach is, we'll just talk, we're about Krishna. You want to know about, we want to tell you about Krishna. And that will be simple and effective. But we may sometimes have some other circumstance.
Maharaj, in our preaching methods, is it very essential to tell more about the, not exactly the word Krishna, but like Pedro Prabhu was telling, like a sannyasi lecture? Is it people get convinced to the point that appreciating the positivity of spiritualism and they approach you again? Is it very good method?
Our I said, if it works, it's a very good method. If by your method people become devotees, your method's good.
Even in the pamphlets?
Whatever you do, if by your method people take the Krishna consciousness, they chant Hare Krishna, they take up the principles of spiritual life and become devotees, then it's good.
You don't have to mention Krishna.
You know, if by standing on your head and singing the Indian national anthem, you can make people Krishna conscious, then it's good. Whatever makes a person Krishna conscious, that's what it is. If you don't make people Krishna conscious, then what was the use of it? If you just made them nice people and they became, 10 people became vegetarians and all of that, well, so what? The monkey is vegetarian. So our goal is to make people... Yeah, people start becoming attached to the devotees and they gradually come on the path of Krishna consciousness. Then you judge the process by the result. The result was he became a devotee, so the process must have been all right. Within limits. I mean, I could think of ways that even if the result was good, you wouldn't want to follow that process. not that will. See, when they smoke marijuana with me, they become... favorable. And I've had people who've actually become devotees by this path. They come to the temple. Well, that's just not recommended. It's not absolutely anything that works. There's some things that work but are just outside the realm of acceptability. But within reason, if you've got some strategy and it works, then we say, well, it must be a good strategy because it worked. It's a good strategy because it worked. But you can get so wrapped up in strategy that you forget the simple, straightforward strategy that already works. Our movement is spread all over the world by people chanting Hare Krishna, asking other people to chant Hare Krishna, distributing these books, telling people about Krishna consciousness. That works. So we don't want to forget that process because we're so busy thinking of, roundabout ways to do it. Prabhupada said touching your nose by going around the back of your head. It's not necessary. But under circumstances, the expert devotee may adapt things in such a way that people will become Krishna conscious. And then if they become Krishna conscious, in China they do this yoga a lot. They teach people yoga. And they've had so many people become devotees. So it's not a business to teach people yoga. Prabhupada didn't say teach people yoga. We don't care if people learn yoga or not. We're not interested in yoga. But if by teaching people yoga, they'll come to our association and then gradually become devotees, we'll teach people yoga.
I like your last 2 points. Number one, judge it by the result. Are people becoming devotees? And number two, a lot of times we see immature or not, Madhyam Adhikaris trying to engage in those fancy preaching techniques and tools, and they lose whatever faith or taste they have themselves because they take on the qualities of the outside people and it goes in the wrong direction.
Yeah, there's a difference between an expert devotee who's adapting skillful means for spreading Krishna consciousness and a neophyte devotee whose faith is weak and doesn't really have the esfuerzo, who doesn't have the energy, the conviction to tell people about Krishna. All he can tell them about is a simple way of life and feeding people in foreign countries. So, he's attached to playing his guitar and playing rock music, so now he's going to do that as a brilliant strategy for spreading Krishna consciousness, when really all it is he's just attached.
I can tell you more than 10 examples of devotees who were before preaching and distributing books, but then because they got into vegetarianism or into altruism, one of them is now running a orphanage in Delhi, one is giving vegetarian cooking classes and preaching vegetarianism, but they're not with ISKCON anymore. Because that became their main mission in life. And instead of giving Krishna Conscious Association, they took those people's association and they just became mundane.
Prabhupada said we have to... I'm sorry.
That danger is always there.
Yeah, Prabhupada said you have to catch the fish and not get wet. There's a Bengali proverb, right? Catch the fish and not get wet. If you're getting wet, then, you know, maybe you shouldn't be fishing. The main thing is the simple, straightforward process shown to us by Srila Prabhupada. And then for the expert preacher who's in a particular circumstance, then he may adapt. But very good point. I've seen also such people, they become convinced that something else is more important. And that's the definition of lack of faith. Faith is Krishna bhakti koilo sarva karma kritohai. Just by Krishna consciousness, you'll get everything. And they lose that faith and they think, yes, but how can people become Krishna conscious if they're not vegetarian, or if they're not, if they're living in poverty, or if their country is under political domination, or this, that. And they lose it. Instead of giving people what the people don't have, they lose what they used to have.
What would you determine as the factor where they go off? Is it pride, or is it because they're trying to find an excuse, or I'm trying to...
It's Maya being very tricky. Maya says, this is a good way to spread Krishna consciousness. And she's got her own, you know, as we have our strategy, she has her strategy. Her strategy is, this guy is attached to yoga, or he's attached to vegetarianism, or he's attached to being a nice person and not being, you know, one of those far out Hare Krishna kind of people. He's a little embarrassed about, you know, being weird. And so I'll give him something, you know, that will spread Krishna consciousness in an indirect way. It's really a better strategy. And then I'll introduce him to Susie, who's really interested in vegetarianism.
I think it has mainly to do with pride, that they want to do it different, they want to do it their own way instead of following what everybody else is doing.
It can be pride, it can be weakness, it can be just lack of expertise, it can be everything's okay but he doesn't have a good enough association. It can be a lot of different things. Yes. I can't. Hey, if you can charge people $30 an hour and get them to become Krishna conscious, fine with me. Shall we take our little break, or would you like to just soldier on to till the end? Tell me what to do. You're nodding your head, but I don't know what you're nodding for.
Break.
Okay, you get your break till 5:30. Hare Krishna. Leshta Sarva Bhuta Nam Maitra Kare Hare Bhuta.
I have a question.
If you want Mahanidhi's class,
I have a question.
You have a question. Okay.
Regarding your placing of photographs.
In this time you're placing the photographs.
Mother Mary and
oh,
Jesus Christ.
Oh,
this is Max. I come from a Christian school. And I have learned a lot of things of how Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for others. So even Prabhupada says he's a great Vaishnava. So how much fair is it to remove his photographs and then can't we just add?
He didn't say that they removed it, she removed it.
Yeah.
He didn't remove the photographs, she decided to remove it. That's different.
But it's nothing wrong, no Maharaj, if we have their photographs.
If you have it, you don't mind. But if they'd rather not have it, or if you want to put a different photograph, then no idea.
I was just wanting to know this. If we should replace, that is a rule.
She replaced it. Not that we replaced it. Huh? I'm satisfied. Satisfied, sure.
Nice hot.
Huh?
Hot.
Yeah, I had. You know, if I go drinking too much, then I become drunk.
Temple
worship of deity. Srila Prabhupada is called as a monarchy.
Excuse me?
Srila Prabhupada is called as like these Nirguna and Saguna. My question, Maharaj, if we worship all the object as in Krishna's eternal form has to be or is really important, then why different temples all around the world do not worship to only one form, and why do we have like different deities of Krishna? Like, where I'm coming from is, if let's say we have Radha Madhava and we have a form of Krishna, we have a form of Madhava. So when we focus on, yes, Krishna has his own form where he resides eternally, and we go to different temples around the world and we see, yeah, okay, Krishna can expand and Krishna can display unlimited pastimes, unlimited forms, but since he has his original form as well, so why not have that original form everywhere in every temple?
Generally we do keep Radha Krishna in all the temples. Most of our temples we keep Radha Krishna. Or else Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going inside.
In terms I'm talking Krishna's deity, in terms of, you know, like we have Madhava in black and...
You mean why don't they all look alike?
Yeah, that's my question.
Because we're not, it's not that, it's how can you say? It's not that the deities all have to, first of all, it's hard to do, you know, to take every deity and may say, okay, give it to the Murtiwala and say, it's got to be exactly like this, you know, the Murtiwalas are different, the stone is different.
Yeah.
You can't make everything stereotyped. Apart from that, there's no such tradition that deities all have to be exactly alike. They have their different... But the main thing is your spiritual vision. With spiritual vision, you'll see that this deity is Krishna. Otherwise, with our still materially affected vision, we'll see that this is a statue of Krishna.
Let's say a devotee does service in the temple as opposed to the same service done by another devotee who's following the order of the spiritual master. It's just the same service, but since he's following duty instructions of the spiritual master as opposed to the normal devotee, does Krishna see these two different similar services as different, or are these...
I don't think I followed. One is serving in the temple.
Both are serving in the temple.
And
both
one
are
is
doing the same service, but the difference only is one is doing service as a part of following instructions of the spiritual master.
And what's the other one doing?
Just being asked to do by the congregation, but
it's also for the spiritual master. Also, temple authorities have said you do this, so they're also representing it. Spiritual master. Okay, they'll both make progress.
I found a typo in the second edition.
What did you find?
In the eighth verse, the translation says, just fix our mind upon me instead of your mind.
Can you have email? Can you send that to errors.english.books
errors.english.books
at pamho.net. And mention the error,
yeah,
and mention the edition. Not just second edition, but it should say, let's see, let's take a look at the book. So you can say it's the December 2006 Indian printing. You know what's listed on the title page? 27th printing, December 2006.
shlokas and the page number encoded, the coded page number is incorrect, so I probably would put that as well.
Are they using page numbers or are they using verse numbers?
They're using verse numbers. They have one page number also. Sorry, the verse that they've mentioned is incorrect.
Oh. Whatever errors you see, that's the place to send them. Errors in English books. You can even send a copy to what's the address on the copyright page? Next.
BBT Mumbai @.
So you can send a copy to them also, since it's their book. A question again. Wait a second. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. Here on this part, when you say of all science, I am spiritual science of the self.
Mm.
When Prabhupada mentioned all of the Vedas in different divisions,
mm-hmm.
and then of these, the book which represents, in particular, Vedanta Sutra represents Krishna. You know, it was just a little because we often hear that Srimad Bhagavatam represents Krishna. So then we hear the Vedanta Sutra, which is a book we don't even have.
But in this context, that's what the acharyas have said.
In this context of
all of these things, of this I'm not, so Vedanta Sutra is a big book on the science of the self. So it's not that this is the only thing that Krishna says among fishes on the shark. So why not the whale?
The like Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled after this, but it makes no sense, right? Does it make any sense to say this or not?
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's also true. But here, Krishna's just saying Adhyatma Vidya.
Yeah, yeah. He's not saying Vedanta Sutra.
No, but the commentators are saying.
Yeah. So it's a conclusion. Okay, now it's maybe more clear now.
More clear. Okay.
Reading Nectar of Devotion and different stages of Bhakti. I've been with Sadhana Bhakti and Rupa Nuga Bhakti. And then the reference is quoted, the Gopas, when they're playing with Krishna in Vrindavan. And their level of bhakti. So, I wondered, they also in the early stages of bhakti, they were like.
Gopas?
Yeah, the friends who were playing their rupa. That's, it was called Rupanuga, Vedic, something bhakti, Rupanuga.
Raganuga?
Raganuga, sorry. Raganuga. Like, we have three.
Raganuga means, doesn't mean the friends of Krishna, it means those who are following the friends of Krishna, or aspiring to be like the friends of Krishna. Friends of Krishna are in the highest stage. They're not practicing, they're not
in bhakti at all.
No, they're in pure bhakti. Highest stage. Ragadmika bhakti it's called. Raganuga means those who are attracted to what the cowherd boys are doing, so they want to follow in the footsteps of the cowherd boys. They're the beginners on that part of the path. Coward boys were at the highest stage.
There definitely has to be more to bhakti than just what personally I am doing in terms of not whatever level one person is, but the main concern is that in this lifetime what one must really do to get to the level of devotion service at least.
A lot to do. That's described. Adho Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu Sangota, Bhajana Kriya. Start with having some faith or interest and associate with devotees. then begin serving under the guidance of a pure devotee. Arjuna Kriya, then Anartha Nivritti, we get free from all unwanted things in the heart.
How to just increase like faith, because like this would take ages, lifetimes and lifetimes and all that.
And Hare Krishna. And avoid 10 offenses. Our whole process is for this. Chanting, hearing. It's powerful. You don't need to be, you don't go, need to go looking for some other thing. Do this thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the process. We just have to follow it. We'll make quick progress.
Take what I'm doing.
Yeah, we'll make progress.
You're leaving.
All right, man, let's go.
Did you get the message? Wait, is it?
Gentlemen?
I asked you.
Gentlemen? Oh,
Krishna.
They turned this off because we're.
We were on break, okay? We're starting again.
Did you get that
Shutterbug. Okay, we're going to do something different. We're changing. No, we're not going to do something much different, but we're going to move. Okay, we're over. Okay, it's over, right? Everything else is done? Any Abhilasha to show you? We shall now undertake a glorious review of what we've been through in the last week or so, starting from the 7th chapter and going up all the way to the 12th. It's easier, actually, I find, to do this review when you have this little book, because then you don't have all the pages and pages to go through, so you can get an overview quite quickly. So we're starting at the beginning of chapter 7, and we're going to go quick. You know, if you want to contribute, you got to be quick and sharp. Okay? So everybody's awake, everybody's on it, everybody's focused. Everybody's here. And we want to know, we're going to just move right through what the different subject matters are in outline. In other words, you're not going to take apart verse 2 of chapter 7 and say, you know, Krishna says this and this and this and this. So taking larger chunks in what seem to be natural sections, we'll move along. And I'll start it off. In the 7th chapter, Krishna begins by telling how his material and spiritual energies are constituted. He identifies himself as the source of all these energies and tells what they are, the material and spiritual. What comes next? Yes.
When you understand this, then you engage in it.
Excuse me?
When you understand this, then you engage in it.
Yeah, how many verses is that?
It's the same.
One. That means you're not really giving me an overview of a section. You're telling me what the next verse says. I gave you about 5 or 6 verses in my little summary. So that's what you're going to do. Could be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. The natural section, what comes next? Mm-hmm.
Krishna describes all types of people who don't surrender.
Does he really do that, or does something else happen first?
Something else
happens. Yes, we're in chapter 7. I talked about how Krishna is the origin of material and spiritual energies, which he outlines, and I'm asking what happens next. Come on, guys. This is not rocket science. Yes. Abhishek.
Krishna explains that no one knows him, and then he says that you can know me by surrendering unto him. And then he talks about those who surrender unto him and those who don't.
Okay. We skipped over, actually, about 5 verses where Krishna says he identifies different features of this material world and identifies himself with them, right? Talks about how he's the light of the sun and the moon, the taste of water, strength of the strong, and so on and so on. That's about 5 verses, right? Okay. Then what you said, he explains that nobody knows him because everybody's covered by Maya, and then he describes the people who don't surrender to him, 4 kinds who don't, and 4 kinds who do. Then, a little bit more. Snappy. You've got to be on it. Yes.
Text 23-25. It's all about how demigod worshippers and impersonalists surrender in a wrong way.
Yeah, there are those who surrender to Krishna. After many births, the intelligent person does, but the less intelligent people surrender to demigods. They surrender in the wrong way. They don't quite get it. Then what happens next? You following along with this? Mm-hmm.
The Lord says here that I know everything, and I have the knowledge of everything, but you have localized knowledge.
I know everyone, but you don't know me. There are a couple of short points put together here toward the end of the chapter. What comes next?
Krishna describes the qualification for actually knowing him.
Krishna describes qualifications for actually knowing him.
Yeah. Should be free of the dualities.
Free from dualities, free from sinful activities. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck in the material world, sarge yanti. If you're full of dualities and desire and hatred, you're going to stay. But if you come to the end of sinful activities, you'll be freed from these things and engage in the service of Krishna. Then at the end of the chapter, I'll help you out. The last couple verses, he introduces some technical terms. Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyagya, Karma, Adyatma. And he talks about knowing him at the time of death. That's the sign-off for the chapter. And how does the next chapter begin?
Arjuna asks the questions to Krishna. What do all these things mean? What are you talking about? Can you explain this?
What is all this stuff? What are all these things that you just talked about? That's the opening question. And then what happens?
Krishna gets right into it.
Goes topic by topic. This is karma. This is adhyatma. This is adiyagya. This is adidaiva. Then what happens?
The rest of the chapter is more or less dedicated to knowing Krishna at the time of death.
Yeah, the rest of the chapter is all about that last question. How can one know Krishna at the time of death? That's really the substance of the chapter. Everything else gets half a verse per topic. But this topic fills most of the chapter. How can one think of Krishna even at the time of death? Prayana. Kale Pichamam, maybe do it with the Javis, right? Yeah, maybe do it with the Javis. So, then, how is that? Now, we've got an outline the whole chapter. What happens within the chapter after Krishna's dealt with the. When he's talking about this chapter, how to know him, there's more. Can we divide that up a little bit?
Talks about remembering him.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways.
How do we remember Krishna?
Hearing about him.
But you're winging it. You're not really telling me what's in the book. Yes?
Different way to think of him, like all the
knows everything, the controller.
Yeah, he describes the object of meditation. Here's what I am. Think of me this way. Right. Then he introduces a little bit of the yoga system for those who are practicing yoga. And then he talks about, again, focusing the mind on him. Then what comes next? That's there. You attain me, you don't come back.
And then the time scales.
The time scales are described. There's the whole picture of things, zoom, coming and going, bhutva, bhutva, pradiyate. The life of Brahma is described. You get the cosmic time here. Everything is coming and going within the context of that. But beyond all of that, what is there? Krishna's abode. And you can go there. Are there some restrictions about going there? For the yogis? Can everybody just go? All the yogis can just...
You've
got to go at the right time. There are the good times for going and the bad times for going. You go at the wrong time, you don't make it. You go at the right time, you go. But, is that, do we have to worry about that? Why not? Yeah, Krishna says, just be a devotee and you don't have to worry about which time you go. And finally, he ends the chapter by saying that devotional service surpasses all the other methods. Vedic study, yajna, this, that, and the other thing. Okay? And that way we end the 8th chapter.
9th chapter, beginning, Krishna is saying that there is more confidential knowledge than what I have described to you before.
Rajaguya, the most confidential knowledge, something more confidential than before.
Namely, about my transcendental nature.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes into the explanation of...
Of
devotional service.
Before he gets to devotional service, what's there?
Krishna says prescribed his mystic opulence.
Yeah? What is that mystic opulence?
That he pervades this, I mean, the unmissed and manifest form, he pervades the entire universe.
He pervades the whole world. He's everywhere.
But at the same time,
he's aloof. What are the two words for that out in the theological world? Does anyone happen to remember?
Omnipresent and
omni... Nope, true, but two contrasting terms. Somebody started to say them. Immanent and transcendent. In the world and beyond the world. And Krishna says, hey, I'm both. At the same time. Now, that's pretty mystical. Yoga Maishra. Then... Again, Krishna describes how everything's manifest and unmanifest. But he says, I'm doing all this, but I'm not affected. Then what comes next?
The two worlds work in an interaction. I'm the boss.
Yeah, the whole thing is going on under Krishna's direction. It's not just the material interactions. Krishna's the boss, the overseer, the adhyaksha. Yes, overseer, the director of everything, yes?
It's very similar to the 7th chapter.
Very similar, the same thing is being said again. It's coming out and coming in under my... So the same Krishna is doing this. He keeps repeating certain points that he wants to make sure Arjuna gets. Yes? Yeah, the fools deny Krishna. Avijananti mamuta manashim tanamashuta. And then what happens to them? They get bewildered. Everything about their life is bewilderment. Their knowledge, their hopes, their dreams, their work.
And then Krishna explains about the Mahatmas,
mm-hmm.
who are of a different nature, who are godly, and their qualities and what they engage in. They engage in constant remembrance and chanting about his glories and his nature.
Right. The devotees, on the other hand, the Mahatmas, are always glorifying Krishna. And then there are some other people who are following some other processes. Yes?
To the demigods?
Yeah. Demigod worshippers and the impersonalists and the people who are worshipping themselves of the universal form. So they're also worshipping Krishna, but not quite the same way. Then again, there's one of those sections where Krishna says, yes? Yeah. Now, moving next, true. He's describing the devotees. Then next. Yeah, Krishna again describes his manifestations in the material world. Especially, there's a little emphasis on sacrifice, the elements of sacrifice. I'm the mantra, I'm the offering, I'm all of this stuff. But then I'm the father, I'm the mother, I'm the grandfather. So again, seeing Krishna everywhere in the material world. Then again, there's a section on, yes?
20 and 21, Krishna is describing the, are we too far?
I'm describing?
Have I gone too far ahead?
Loud?
I was wondering if I've gone too far ahead.
No, you're right on.
So 20 and 21, Krishna is discussing demigods and the results that we get.
Again. He's hitting again on the demigod worship, that it's for the less intelligent people because you just come and go. You get some results, but then you come back down. And then on the other hand, Krishna says, there are my pure devotees who are always thinking of me, and I provide what they need. But then there, so it's going back and forth. Then there are the demigod worshippers, who are worshipping in the wrong way, and they fall down if they don't understand that I'm the real beneficiary of all yajnas, I'm the real enjoyer. Then, summing it up,
that it's so easy to worship and please him by simply offering him food, flour, leaf of devotion, do everything, whatever sacrifice, whatever penance and charity one does as an offering unto him. So it's quite easy to please him. It's going back and forth three or four times between the demigod worshippers and his devotees to really give the contrast.
And then, yes, for the rest of the chapter?
Simplicity of devotional service.
Yeah. Simplicity of devotional service.
He started to talk about, you know, how I protect the devotee, then even if he falls down, still his position is to protect.
The devotee is protected by Krishna. Even if he falls down, Krishna doesn't forget him. Krishna protects him. Yes?
Then everybody can reach him.
Everybody can reach him. So he's glorifying devotional service here. Devotional service is so great that anyone who takes shelter of Krishna can attain perfection. And the conclusion of the chapter?
The most confidential knowledge.
Yeah, what is that?
Krishna gives four instructions. Engage our minds always in thinking of him, become his devotee, worship him, offer obeisances.
Yeah, conclusion is just do it. That's the conclusion. Surrender to me, think of me, worship me, become my devotee. That's the conclusion. That's the last word of the chapter. You should do this. It's not just armchair speculation. Then the 10th chapter comes. And Krishna's again speaking something confidential. First he says that practically no one knows me because I was here before everyone. Then he says that those who do know me become free from sinful reactions. Then he describes various qualities that all come from him. And he, in the essence, essential verses, he says that he's the origin of everything, that those who know this, engage in his service, they always glorify him and enlighten one another, and he enlightens them from within the heart by giving them spiritual knowledge that destroys all their ignorance and enables them to come to him. Then what happens?
Arjuna's
free from doubts. And? Not yet. What happens before that?
Arjuna accepts what Krishna says.
Krishna said, Arjuna accepts everything Krishna says. I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I accept everything that you've said. Then he has a question. What is that question? No, we're in the 10th chapter. That's the next one.
To describe in further detail.
Excuse me?
To describe further detail.
Yeah, please tell me some details. Keshu, keshu, jabhaveshu. How can I think of you even while I'm in this material world? Describe your vibhutis, your specific opulences, by which I can understand you. And Krishna says, okay. And he gives him the big long list. He actually says, well, I'm going to give you a short list. And he gives him a really what's a short list. And at the end he says, what?
What's the point of all this detailed knowledge with the
with what's the point of all of this? I mean, how much can I say? With a single fragment of myself, I maintain everything. Whenever you see anything that's glorious or wonderful or beautiful, that's coming from me. And I maintain everything with just one fraction of my energy, one fraction of myself. And that's the end of the 10th chapter. Then in the 11th chapter, Krishna says, yeah, by your mercy, I've free from illusion, and I've understood something about your wonderful nature. But now I have, there's something else I want to see. What's that, Bhagavatam?
Universal form.
Universal form. I want to see this universal form. So Krishna says, okay, what do you need to see it? Quick, what do you need to see the universal form?
Divine eyes,
I'll give them to you. And then there's the whole sound and light show. Krishna shows him all this wonderful stuff. And Arjuna says, wow, I'm seeing all this wonderful stuff. And then he starts seeing some stuff that's, what's it like?
Fearful.
What is it?
Thousands of heads.
Yeah, everything's getting
bigger.
Smashed.
The people are getting smashed, all the warriors are dying, everybody's rushing into his blazing mouths like moths going into a fire. So Arjuna has a question. What's the question?
To show the Narayan form.
What's the question?
Who are you?
Who are you? What is this? Why have you come? And Krishna answers,
I'm time,
and why have I come? Destroy everybody. Then, after seeing that, and why? What should you do? Yes?
Become an instrument?
Become an instrument. I've already killed everybody. You just have to become instrumental in the program. Good. Then what happens? Arjuna prays. He offers prayers to the universal form of the Lord, glorifying him. And then toward the end of his prayers, what's happening? Yes? You know, before that? Before he shows his forearm form?
He's asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, he asks forgiveness. Out of intimacy, I behaved in such a familiar manner. I didn't really understand. I didn't know you could do this. I didn't understand who you were. So please forgive me for all of that. And then, yes, now please show your forearmed form. This is becoming too much. I can't really handle this. If you could show me your forearmed form and then your two-armed form, that would be better. and Krishna does that, and then what's his final point practically? Yeah, you can only understand me by devotional service. There's so many other ways that you might try to understand me, but they're not going to work. You have to understand me by pure devotional service. Mat karma krin mat paramo mat bhakta sangha bhajata. You have to become a devotee. Same point. Same point was there in chapter 8. Same point shared in 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All concluding that one has to become a devotee. Then 12, what's the opening question? What's better, devotional service or impersonalism? Who knows the answer? Devotional service is better. But the impersonalists, can they make it? Slowly. What do they get?
Trouble.
Trouble, lots of trouble. Therefore, but for the devotee, what happens?
It's not a roller coaster ride.
Not a roller coaster ride, but what happens?
Describes himself as a swift deliverer.
Excuse me? Krishna says, I quickly deliver him from the ocean of birth and death. Therefore, what should you do? Just fix your mind on me. And then what happens in the next few verses? If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do that, do that. If you can't do that, do the next thing. But do something. So that gradually you'll come to the real point of engaging in devotional service to me. And what's in the rest of the chapter? Qualities of a devotee. And what are these devotees in relationship to Krishna? Very dear to Krishna. Priyo Nadaha. Madhaktasa me priyaha. They're all dear to Krishna. So one becomes dear to Krishna by becoming his devotee and developing all of these good qualities. And in this way, these middle six chapters go by very quickly. That was a speed through the middle six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. But you see, there are topics systematically dealt with there. Throughout these chapters, it seems like you're going to be asked about this. And there you have it. Any questions? Well, thank you all very much. A mentor sitting here alone would be pretty useless. Without the mentees. And we hope there haven't been any mentiras. Lies. Yeah, a little bit of book production background here. Hope that's been useful also. And yes, this is our last meeting. This is our last meeting formally. Our Bhagavad Gita classes end today, and next week I get shuttled over to the Bhakti Vaibhav section, and we talk about other things. And I'm not quite sure what you shuttle over to the next six chapters.
Nectar of devotion.
Sadhana bhakti, nectar of devotion. Okay. Now that we know what the message of Bhagavad Gita is, that we have to become devotees. So now we're going to find out how to do it in the next unit.
Can we find this information in your website?
Which information? What kind of information? Now that we've toured Bhagavad Gita, we'll tour my website. Another chapter covered the last six chapters. Here's what you can find, hope to find. Here are the wonderful things that you'll see all at once in one place on my website. Let's see. There's a section of essays on various topics of interest concerning mostly philosophy and spirituality. That's there. These are things you'll find on the left-hand side, mostly articles published in Back to Godhead over the years, but also some newer articles. You'll find a couple of articles on the events of 9/11 and what might be behind those events and what sort of relationship they might have to the Bhagavad Gita, especially 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You'll find some interesting topics there. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wonderful things that you've never seen before. And that's there. There's also a recording of one article there read by me. There's a section on editorial issues, which covers a lot of the topics that we've covered here, but in much greater detail. There are links that lead you to all sorts of, you want to see what this edition said is against what that edition said, is against what the manuscript said, against what the critics say, how the answers are. There's lots and lots of stuff, on and on and on. Lots of things there. If you want to find out the history of how different books were produced, who produced them, when, who edited them, what's the, how is it done, there's an essay on that. There's, you want to find out how Srimad Bhagavatam was edited and re-edited, the first canto during Prabhupada's time. There's some samples of that. There's a lot of stuff about editing. So there's that section. There's a section on, there's a whole section about, that we talked about this topic of Pichet Sudaracharo. Can a saintly person, can a sinful person be a saint? Can a person who sins still be a saintly person? There's lots of stuff about that with a lot of quotations from different shastras. You can find that section there also. There's a section about health, how to stay healthy in India. It's one of the topics that are there, especially for those who are not from India. And there's another essay there on noise-induced hearing loss. An interesting topic, what loud levels of sound can do to your hearing without your even knowing it, and what you can do about that. That's an essay you might find of interest. That's also in that section. Then there's a section called About Unusual Doctrines, I think it's called, where you can find out some things that I've said about this cockamamie rhythmic philosophy. Cockamamie means cuckoo. Means puggle. So there's several essays on that. My itinerary is on the right hand side where I'm going. Some biographical glorification of all the wonderful things I've done. Some links to some other websites that I think are pretty good. And one more thing up there. What else is there? Oh, a donation button where you can click and give me millions of dollars. I think there are even links there where you can give money to the BBT, or you can, those who are want to make rapid progress can give all their money to Krishna. There's and in the center section there's what's known in the trade as a blog. That means where I put up different things that I have to say from time to time. So that's there. And there's a search box where you can look and see what's, you know, what's there. Yes.
Do you have a feedback button?
There is a feedback button. Those who register, because otherwise I get spammed, you know, just machines start sending letters. So if you register for the site, which doesn't cost anything, then you can leave feedback, which means you can write to me, or you can leave comments for the site. I generally don't publish. Some people, they just publish whatever comments people write. I publish the ones that really add something, generally. I mean, every now and then something else comes through. But hi, Maharaj. It's really great to read your articles. I really love blah, blah. That doesn't get through. That's just a personal comment to me. But when people raise issues of interest or have something more substantial to say, then we do publish comments on the site for registered users. And registered users do have the privilege of writing to me through the site or writing to one another. You can look up your the other users on the site and write to them. That's pretty much what's on the site. And that's the story. Yes?
You have that wonderful poem. What is that? Something about house?
Oh, yeah. Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. You'll find there's a poetry section full of sweet sentiments. So you can look for that on the site. Yes. Excuse me? Yeah, one poem. And there's there are a couple videos. At least there's one video about the God gene, which you might find a link to if it's still there. Quite funny and quite good. So there's different stuff there. Oh, and the class from last year on P.J. Sudaracharya, that's up on the website too. So if you like, visit it. It's www.jswami.info. And hope you find something worthwhile. Somebody feels like helping me maintain the site. Anyone techie and interested in that can press the contact button. I'll be glad to hear from you. And that's the story there. And now we're at that magic 108 number again. So I thank you all for taking part in this class. And since it's the section mostly concerned with pure devotional service, that we hope we can all advance more and more in pure devotional service to Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Before we formally thank Maharaj, he's leading us through chapter 7 to 12 of the Bhagavad Gita, just make a couple of announcements. On Sunday, there's a closed book test, 10:30 a.m.,
yeah.
Just out here in the garden. And then on Monday, we'll be continuing with the course with Nectar of Devotion, chapter 6 to 13. And that class will be facilitated by His Grace Janmashtami Prabhu. He'll be teaching that week. And those classes will be in the classroom number one, I think, where we were for units 1 and 2. So you're all invited. And we'd like to thank Maharaj for his enlivening discussions on Bhagavad Gita for the past couple of weeks. And we pray that we ask Maharaj's blessings that we're all able to imbibe the teachings of Krishna in our spiritual lives and empower us in our preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness to others. Hare Krishna, and on behalf of the students, we'd like to offer you a small gift.
Pavitra Paramam Bhava. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Sarina Jeva Sveta Swami Maharaj Ki
Jai. Tul Krishna Prabhu Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Oh, goody.
Six can of Bhagavatam high coffee.
Oh, great.
And, there's
and
some
my to-do list.
That's a day off, basically. There's four lessons scheduled.
Oh.
So Friday is not a scheduled lesson. So options are there for you to, you know, skip it and have a lesson off, have, you know, a day off. Or if you want to take extra time, you know, that's options there.
Okay.
Wow. And this is the place again.
We'll see how the weather is.
Yeah.
Maybe,
there's a classroom, you know, we can put you in a classroom if you need.
Which would we do as an alternative?
Yeah.
This classroom?
Well, I would expect it to be the one
that's same one.
They can sleep in the gym.
Behind, not the front one.
Yeah.
Because this one's a little bigger.
Yeah, that's the one that we used.
Behind, yeah.
But then we already take showers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good group.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have to take shower. They can take shower with some friends.
Or, come on, the class is over. They don't pay me for staying overtime.
Yeah, okay.
What you got?
I just want to understand what you say. Robert makes his purpose. He's not very much anxious to get a son or a disciple, nor is he distressed by not getting one. I remember, I think, when Prabhupada said when one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's sannyas disciples was dragged away, he was lamenting that he could not save his disciples.
Yeah, that's different from not getting a disciple. You get one, you don't want to lose him.
But he's not angry. The idea is that he's not angry.
He wants to make it. But he's not interested. You know, I don't get it. If I get one, that's nice. But okay. That I'm eager, you know, I have that. Everybody else has got, you know. I told my one time, everyone else has 20 or 40, I want 20 or 40. Whatever she's for me.
The devotee never disturbs me, the bhagavad board never puts out the same things.
I
can
think of lots of examples where a lot of pure devotees put a lot of others in things. Yeah, but their business is not to put others in things.
Okay. But they still do it, right?
Devotees?
Like Arjuna, I'm sure the other party were in a lot of
That was good for them. But yeah, the Prabhupada asked that, then why were they aggressive to them? That was his duty. He's otherwise, he's not eager to put anyone in. His tendency was not to put anyone in exile.
Hmm.
I don't need to fight, what do I need to fight for? I don't need a kingdom.
Yeah.
But for Krishna's service, so that.
But it's still putting them in anxiety now.
Yeah, it is. But no, Yasmin.
Yasmin's